What a blessing in the house. Amen. How's everybody doing? It's always good to be in the house of the Lord with the church family. I'm going to move a few things. Just one second here. Praise the Lord. If you got your Bibles, you can turn to Philippians chapter 4. And I just want to address something first that the Holy Spirit has just prompted in my spirit first, and that is if you're dealing with fear, I think there's a lot of people dealing with fear right now, and whether it's in this building or not, okay, whether it's online or whether you've been dealing with it a lot in the workplace with people, everybody wants to talk right now about everything that's going on. And I just want to remind you today, if something prompts fear in your life, it's not of God, okay? And there's a lot of chatter. You know, if you watch mainstream media, maybe don't, all right? Because it will invoke a lot of fear many times. And you've got to recognize, because I think the one thing that we do is we talk about, we say not to do things, but sometimes it's hard to understand how to discern that. And so one great discerning factor in life is if it invokes something that is opposite of who God is, then you shouldn't listen to it, okay? And one thing that the world, that culture, politics, all of those things can invoke at times is fear, okay? If it's invoking that, you need to recognize that is not of God, okay? And so if you're listening to things or listening to people, you know, anyone can have a podcast, right? Okay? I could have 7 podcasts right now, all right? You know what I mean? Anyone can have a podcast, all right? It seems like they put anybody on the news these days too, all right? And you have to recognize it's so important as a Christian, as a steward of truth. Do you hear me today? Because as Christians, we are stewards and ambassadors of truth. And it's important to recognize that if you're dealing with fear, that's not of God. And if you're working with people, especially that are full of fear, that you are the ambassador of truth. Which means that you need to uphold that at all times. And as Christians, that's hard sometimes. We're like, well, at all times, like, don't I get a break? You don't. Like, you don't get a break, okay? And that's hard. It is, okay? Do you hear me today? I'm not saying that's easy, okay? But it is essential in the culture that we live in today. I think that you will be surrounded time and time again by opportunities if you want to be fearful. Opportunities time and time again to hear something and believe that it's true when it's not. That's your choice to make. But as Christians, we know the truth. And I just want to share this, a few scriptures. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, it says, don't worry about anything. Amen? Instead, what does it say? Pray about everything. You know, worrying about stuff isn't going to do anything. It's actually going to do, well, it's going to do something. All right. Maybe I should rephrase that. All right. It's not going to do anything positive. It is going to do something. All right. It's going to create more worry. It's going to create more fear. This is how you spiral out of control. All right. You start worrying. Okay. It says, tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. And I love that because it takes the eyes off of your situation and puts your eyes on the one that brings the solution. Amen? And then you will experience what? God's peace. Praise the Lord. If you have had unrest, if you have not had peace in your life, I just want you to know that's not of God either. God is a God of peace. It says so right here in his scripture. And so the world around you can be chaotic, but you can still have peace. And it says it exceeds anything we can understand. I love that. I know there has been plenty of times in my life where chaos was around me or something that was crazy was going on in my life. But when I found rest in the Holy Spirit, I had peace that didn't really honestly make sense. But I had it. I didn't necessarily look around and be like, wow, everything's great. But I was at peace. And that peace comes from who I know, who I'm in relationship with. And that is so powerful. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And in a culture today that wants to tell you the wrong thing is true. In a world where you turn on the TV and there's all these weird talk shows, you know, like Good Morning America, what is happening, okay? And everybody wants to have, you know, say this is my truth, and so it's the truth, and you're like, stop it, okay? Stop it. That's ridiculous, okay? All right? I love this. His peace, the peace of God, the peace of the Holy Spirit, it will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. So listen up. That's code for listen up. Fix your thoughts on what is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. And you can take in so much media these days. If you go on to, YouTube Shorts or Reels, you can watch like 70 movies in 20 minutes. You know what I'm talking about? Because there's little 30-second or minute-long clips. You can saturate yourself with everything that is not of God, okay? And I would really encourage you to saturate yourself with the presence of God over and over and over again. And I'm going to be very clear about this. This is not necessarily easy. It's hard. But it will be fulfilling, and it will actually bear the fruit, just like what Mike was talking about. I love that. It will actually bear the fruit that you want in your life. Amen? So Philippians 4, let's go. 1 Thessalonians, a few chapters ahead. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16. It says, always be joyful. Amen? 1 Thessalonians 5, 16. Always be joyful. Always. Always. Always be joyful. How do you be joyful? Well, we just read it. All right? We just read it in Philippians 4. How do you find joy? Well, if you have peace in your life, if you think about all those things that Philippians 4 just talked about, you're going to be joyful all the time. The problem is we think about all those things like on Sunday mornings for a couple hours, all right? And then we stop. And then we wonder why, what happened, okay? That can happen a lot in life. Or we think about it, you know, only a few times a week, but then when we don't, guess what happens? Our peace, our joy seems fleeting. But I just want you to know, always be joyful, it says here. Never stop praying, never. That's also hard, okay? But it will produce in your life. It's hard, okay? But it will produce in your life. If you create a lifestyle of prayer, long term, what it will produce, we can't even think or imagine the harvests that come from that. If everything you do it in prayer and thanksgiving, For this is huge. This is God's will for you who belong in Christ Jesus. What is that saying? That's what Jesus wants you to do. Okay? So it doesn't matter what you want to do. This is what Jesus wants you to do. And we love the idea in the picture of Jesus the Savior that hung on a cross for our sins, that grace is more than enough, that loves us no matter what. And all of that is true. But especially in America, we have issue with King Jesus. Because King Jesus tells us that we have to do something that we don't want to do. Well, newsflash for you, okay? That's part of obedience. That's part of King Jesus in our life. And we have a hard time with that because we're like, well, I just don't know if I really, how I feel about that. You ever been there? I've been there, okay? I just don't know if I feel. I was having a conversation with God last night. I just don't know how I feel about that. I know my feelings are wrong. I know for a fact my feelings are wrong. But they are really strong right now. And that's a real battle that we deal with. That's a real battle that we have to, this is important, that we have to face. All right, feelings and emotions, they come. It doesn't mean that they dictate our life. It doesn't mean that we allow them to dictate our life. Always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you to belong to Christ Jesus. Do not stifle the Holy Spirit. Don't shut up the Holy Spirit. All right, that's what it's saying. When the Holy Spirit speaks to you, listen and be obedient. You want to stifle the Holy Spirit? When the Holy Spirit speaks to you, you say, shut up. That will stifle the Holy Spirit in your life, all right? Do not stifle the Holy Spirit. Do not scoff at prophecies. But this is important. But test everything that is said. Hold on to what is good. And stay away from every kind of evil. Be diligent. Do the work. We will offer here at this church many opportunities to learn the truth, understand the truth, to put your faith in practice, but at the end of the day, you are going to have to do most of the work, okay? We come to church on a Sunday morning for 2 hours, and it is an incredible time of praising the Lord, worshiping Him, giving Him thanks for all He has done, and to find some practical steps that as a church family, we can move into what God has called us to do. But the rest of the time, you're going to have to do a lot on your own. Amen? It doesn't mean that you don't have to call somebody, right? You can call, all right? Phone a friend. You should, okay? Phone a friend. Text a friend, all right? But remember, you're going to have to make those choices again and again. All right, last scripture here, 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy. And then we'll actually maybe get into the message that I had. But 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 19. Let's just read verse 18 because I just think this is so cool. You know, Timothy was Paul's spiritual son. And Paul loved Timothy. You can read it in Scripture, the way he just cherishes Timothy and is always looking out for him. And you can tell Paul sees something in Timothy that probably Timothy does not see. Timothy was really young when he went to the Ephesian church. When he met Paul, he was a teenager, okay? We don't know exactly how old he was when he was in Ephesus at the church as the leader that Paul had sent apostolically to run things. But more than likely, he was actually under the age of 18, most people think, okay? So he was rolling in hot to Ephesus, because Ephesus was a dumpster fire, okay? It was an absolute mess. Politically, culturally, I mean, they were doing anything and everything was permissible there. And Paul's like, hey, Timothy, my guy, I can't hang out with you, but I'm going to send you in to the belly of the beast. Okay? I mean, that's wild when you really like break down what's happening. How much Paul saw in Timothy, and Timothy was successful. Okay? So, okay. But 1 Timothy 1, verse 18, it says, Timothy, my son, here are my instructions for you based on, this is important, the prophetic words spoken about you earlier. I think that's so important. You know, God has spoken things over you that are prophetic for your future, the potential, the purpose, the things he's called you to do. Do not forget it. Base things off of that. Many times we base our future, our life, or our actions off of the negative things people have said about us. But I love Paul because he's like, why don't you base your decisions off of the things that have been prophesied over you? That's super powerful. May they help you fight well in the Lord's battle. Cling to your faith in Christ. Cling. 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 You ever clung to something before? Kids cling to their parents, right? Cling to your faith in Christ Jesus. This is keep your conscience clear. Keep your conscience clear. I looked that word up, and it means co-perception. Okay? And this is, there's probably, we could do a lot more studying in this, but really what that word is saying is you are taking your perception and you're attaching it to the Holy Spirit so that your perception now is viewed through the way that the Holy Spirit sees something. And this is so vital in the day and age and the culture we live in, because again, everybody's like, well, this is my truth, okay? These are the things. And maybe they word it differently, all right? Or people go around saying something is true, but it is their perception, okay? But there is only one true perception that we should be viewing the world and life through, and that perception is through the lens of the Holy Spirit. And so this word conscience is literally like coupling the two things together. It's coupling the Holy Spirit coming in your life so that when you perceive and you discern something, you are discerning and perceiving it the way that the Holy Spirit sees it. Amen? And so it says, cling to your faith, keep your conscience clear. For some people have deliberately violated their consciences. I mean, yeah. You do that long enough, too. You believe what is false to be true. That's why you have so many people, they can't even have a conversation. They can't. They cannot even have a conversation about something because they are just so wound tight with this unbelief that they have clung to. They are so wound tight, they can't even have a decent conversation about it. They freak out. They freak out. Well, don't do that. Amen? So don't violate your conscience. As a result, their faith has been shipwrecked. As a result, their faith, the things that they believe, the faith that they had maybe once, this is actually alluding to those that were in Christ. Their faith has been shipwrecked. Why? Because they have gone to the side of allowing their conscience to be skewed so far a certain way that now they don't even have faith anymore. Now, we've all experienced that. We've watched people walk away from Jesus. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I'm like, man, how does that happen? I know what happened in your life. I know what God did. I watched supernatural things happen. I watch God heal you. I know the things that you came from, the things that you've walked through, and the things that God has done in your life. Well, it happens. This is how it happens. So I urge all of us to guard those things. And I urge you to recognize that specifically I felt the Holy Spirit speaking to fear. If you are dealing specifically with fear, I want you to know that is not of God. Okay? And if fear is taking control of your life, break that today. Okay? And how do you break it? With all these things that we just talked about. Philippians 4 is one of the best places to start. You read that scripture over and over again, and then you just do it. You just do it. You just do it. And you allow the Holy Spirit to break it, break it, break it. Amen? All right. Well, let's pray, and then we'll take a few minutes to look at a few things that the Holy Spirit put in my heart for today. Lord, we just thank you for today. We thank you for your Holy Spirit and how perfect you are. You are always timely. You speak in a way to us that no person can speak. You connect with us in a way that no person can connect. And we honor that today, and we thank you for that. We thank you, Father, for what you're doing in our lives, but we also thank you for what that's going to do in the lives of the people that we come into contact with. We thank you that our testimony will speak to people, and we thank you, God, that as we live a life on fire for you, the fulfillment that comes from that is unmatched. We thank you, Father. Amen, amen. If you agree with that, say amen. Amen. Go ahead and turn to Philippians chapter 1. And today you're going to hear one of my all-time, you know, I say this a lot, favorite verses, right? This is actually one of my favorite verses for a very long time. When I got baptized when I was 13. When I got water baptized. When I was 13, they said, hey, if you want to say something and you want to share a scripture, you know, now that's a good time to do it. And so this is the scripture that it impacted my life at a young age, and it still impacts me today. And it's Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. And it says, and I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. And I love this scripture because it is one of the greatest promises in the Bible to me, because it reminds me every day that when I read that God has started a good work and he's always working it. He's always working it. See, God is a God that works until completion. And we live in a world where we're used to a lot of people that work. You ever start a project? You ever start a project around the house before? Okay. And you'll even say things like, I'm going to get this done today, right? You know? And then like 2 months later, oh yeah, I was going to finish that 2 months ago. You know? I mean, it could be a lot of different things in your life. You're going to start something. You're going to do something. You know, I love New Year's resolutions. Now, some people despise them and think they're dumb and foolish. I love New Year's resolutions because I think it's a cool opportunity to just refresh. And if you think it's, you know, foolish or that's okay, that you can have that opinion, that's okay. But I love it because, you know, it's a chance to start new. But, you know, a lot of things happen, you know, January 1, you know, and then they end January 2, you know, or they start January 1 and then like January 18th, it's like, wow, man, that was harder than I thought. And, you know, and then we just kind of stop. And how many of you ever started something and then not finished? How many of you have experienced somebody promising you to do something and they never finish? That's hard. That can really, for some of us, we've had that happen so much that it is hard for us to trust anybody anymore, right? And so sometimes when we read this scripture, we're like, it's easy to go right by it because we're so numb to the concept of someone completing something in our life, following through with a commitment. And I just want you to know today that God is always working what he started in you. Amen. And the cool thing about God is he started it. The Bible speaks of before you were ever in your mother's womb. Isn't that amazing? That's pretty special. Even when you were not coherently aware of who he was doing something in you. And even if you turn your back on him, he's still working. I could give you examples. Man, could I give you examples of time and time again when I look back at my life, at moments where I turn my back on him and just seeing the work of God in my life and recognizing that and how, you know, I don't even really think I can describe those feelings of just the love of a father that loves you enough that when you're just being an absolute idiot, he's still working. That's amazing to me. That's amazing to me. And I just want you to know that not only has God started something, but he's working on completing it all the time. That's who he is. He is faithful always. And I love how Paul starts out this. He says, I'm sure of this, right? In my version, it says, I am certain of this. And I think a lot of Christians could use that certainty in their life. It's easy not to have that certainty when you lean on your flesh. You say, you know, I think God's for me. There's a possibility God's for me. I love Paul. He's like, I am certain of this. I know it. And so I would ask you, do you know, are you certain that God has started something in you, that he's going to complete it, that he's working it right now? Are you certain of it? That is faith in who God is, okay? It's a pivotal piece of our faith, understanding that God is going to and always going to be who he says he's going to be in our life. Amen. Let's look at good work here. It says he began the good work. He began a good work. What's a good work? Well, one of the first great works that happens is salvation in our life as Christians. When we give our lives to Jesus, it's that realization, understanding of who God is and recognizing that he needs to be the number one thing in our life. That previously there were other things that were a bigger priority and now we're making him the biggest priority. And that work alone, I mean, it talk about shattering so many negative things in our life. That single act of making him the number one priority in our life changes everything. It changes everything. It's the Holy Spirit that brings conviction. And what is conviction, all right? Conviction lets us know, hey, that's not okay. And our flesh instantly is like, I think it's fine. You know, you ever experienced that before? Just me? We all laugh because it's very real. We're like, yeah, I did. Maybe that was last night, actually. I think I felt that a little bit. Yeah, because conviction's very real. And conviction's something that will continue to happen in your life. Because God is a God that will continue to what? Work. He'll always work. And because we're imperfect, because we do stuff, the Holy Spirit is always faithful to say, hey, let's clean that up. You're better than this. I know. I made you. I know what you got. I put it inside of you. Can I help you find that? Come here. Let me dust you off, all right? Let me show you how to do it. You know, I love Jesus. He says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. And I love the way that the Message Bible says, it's like, let me teach you, let me show you the unforced rhythms of grace. I just love that so much. I think it's like such a beautiful translation of what Jesus is saying in that moment. If you hang out with me, I will show you the unforced rhythms of grace. I love that. It's important for me to remember that sometimes, because when I'm dealing with negative thoughts, or I'm dealing with, you know, maybe unforgiveness or resentment or bitterness, or maybe I'm dealing with you know, just a challenge in my marriage, or with, you know, raising a daughter, any of those things, I recognize that anything that is not of Him, all right, is outside of the unforced rhythms of grace. Does that make sense? And so the only thing that I have to do to get back to a balance is to call on the name of Jesus, and He will put me back into these unforced rhythms of grace. That's pretty powerful, because in that grace, things abound in a beautiful way. So I would ask you, you know, where, this is important as Christians, is to take a inventory or an audit of our life. Where have you seen evidence of God starting something in you? And it can be small things, it can be big things. Never overlook the small things, okay? Never overlook the small things. But it is important to recognize where are the things, the evidence of God starting something in you, in your life. It could be a new hunger for the Word. That's why I love young Christians. They challenge me because, you know, in Revelation it speaks of the church that forsook their first love, right? And a new Christian can really turn you upside down. You know what I'm talking about? Because a new Christian, it's new and exciting. And what happens sometimes with Christians, if they're not careful, they become old and unexciting. I never want to become like that. I always want to be new and exciting, okay? When Charity and I go to dinner, I want, you know, the waitress to be like, man, are you guys on your honeymoon? Why? Because I want our marriage to always be new and exciting. Does that make sense? And so I think that is an important piece of our relationship with God. And so, you know, a new Christian, they're excited about the Word of God. They want to, like, dig in. They want to figure out, like, where do I start? What do I read? And especially being in youth ministry, I loved that. I love when, like, a young person would come to me, I'd be like, why don't you read this and come back and talk to me? And the next week, they're like, did you know? And I'm like, man. And honestly, I was like, no, I did not know it like you know it right now. I need to get back in there, right? It was always so challenging to me, right? And this is the kingdom of God, right? The kingdom of God reminds us that we're all on this journey of faith, all right? Whether you've been a Christian for, you know, 5 minutes or 40 years, the Holy Spirit can reveal something so powerful to you that'll knock the socks off of you and everyone around you, okay? Isn't that cool? And so, and maybe it's a new hunger for the Word. Maybe it's a conviction of sin. You know, we just talked about that. Maybe it's a conviction of sin that's, you're starting to change some things in your life. And one thing I find in my life is a conviction of sin instantly in my flesh. My first response to a conviction of sin generally is, well, how am I going to do that? I think about all these things that it's going to affect. And I'm like, how is that going to work? You ever do that before? And so there's this conviction that, like, hey, you've got to get rid of this. And I'm like, but how's that going to affect A, B, and C? And what I've learned is the Holy Spirit's got that all taken care of. That the conviction, my job is now to respond and say, okay, I get that. I recognize it. I'm wrong. Now I'm going to go start figuring out how to change it. And that's by getting in the presence of God. It's by, you know, calling a mentor or pastor in my life, you know, somebody that I can trust. I'm like, okay. You know, Colin's been in some of those conversations, all right? But if you think like, hey, really screwed this up, all right? So here I am telling you I screwed it up. Can you help me now straighten this out? Okay. Very uncomfortable conversations, but I always leave those conversations encouraged because I go to the people that have, they have a lot invested in me and they want to see the best in my life happen. And so I know that. And so when I leave those conversations, I usually go in those conversations like, you know, and I leave those conversations feeling encouraged and with a few steps in the right direction. And that's always encouraging. Amen? It could be, you know, maybe a new desire to serve in the church came along. You know, that was maybe a first sign of a good work starting in you. It could be a lot of different things. You know, we were just talking about Eric and the worship team and I, we were talking about that, about how, I'm going to brag on Eric for a minute, but when we were portable, anybody remember when we were portable? Our church was portable, and we were at Ralston High School. We would show up on Saturdays to set up for a couple hours before Sunday. And that was like the greatest blessing. I remember that they allowed us to do that because it was like a jump start to the morning. Because the mornings just felt so hectic. And I just remember every week showing up and that guy was always there. Like never without a doubt. And he was talking about how much he loved that. He was looking for a church that was doing stuff so he could get involved. And I thought that was really powerful. That really impacted me back there. And I was like, that is just such a cool heart for the house. And how, you know, I've watched that, you know, throughout your life. God's really blessed that and created a lot of fulfillment in your life. It's really amazing to watch. And just hearing him share that, that was a good work that God was starting in Eric. You know, he gave his life to Jesus. He was finding out who God was, and there was this, he wanted to just jump in, you know. And this good work started in him. It's really a beautiful thing. And so look at the signs. And if you ever feel lost, that's also a good way to get back on track. And I don't know how many times I've been in a conversation with people or I've personally felt this way where I'm just like, man, I just don't feel like I have any direction of what to do. And one of the greatest things I've ever heard is, well, go back to the last time that you heard the voice of God or go back to the last time that you felt some sort of direction and do that. Do that. That's the important piece, all right? Don't just think about it. Do it, right? Do that, okay? All right. And in this scripture, too, who started it? Did you start it? God started it. Amen? God started it. And that's important for us today because again, we talked about this a little bit, but it separates the human side of what we're used to, right? We're used to people maybe quitting on us in life. And so it's hard to trust that, but I just want you to know God's faithful, okay? And I will say that you're in a church of people that will prove time and time again, they'll be great examples of not quitting on you. I love our church because I see examples of that time and time again, of people that just, there's just a lot of grit and a lot of willingness to allow the Holy Spirit to sharpen them and to move on, praise the Lord, and prove that and show that to me, and I love that. And so I will tell you this, if you stick around this church long enough, you will see that exemplified. You really will. And there's so many people that I look out on this crowd, and I think about all of that and seeing that and how impactful that's been to my life. Stick around, you'll see it in your own life, all right? And, And when I think about God being the one, it's so important. I think about, there's a few people in the Old Testament that I read in 2 Samuel. Let me give you the scripture, because we're not going to go to it today. I think it's 2 Samuel, like 20. I had it. There it is, 2 Samuel 23. And that's David. They're talking about David's mighty men. And there's a few guys in there, Shammah and Eleazar. And Eleazar, he stood against the Philistines, the enemies of God, and he fought so much that his sword clung to his hand. His hand froze around his sword. He was fighting so hard that he could not let go of his sword. Like, they had to, like, he had to, like, ever have that happen where you hold something so tight? It's pretty incredible. And then Shammah, he defended a lentil field, okay? Little beans. He defended a lentil field against the Philistines. It said, when everyone else fled, he stood his ground. I love that. But both of these guys, they were heroes. They were part of David's mighty men, all right? But it says in both of their battles that that day the Lord brought about a great victory. And that's so powerful, because it's important to recognize that in your life, the things that God calls you to do, they are going to be out of your fleshly reach. What do I mean? You are not going to be able to do them on your own. Okay? God is going to call you to do things that are out of your own fleshly reach, all right? But his supernatural power will empower you to reach it, okay? He'll put people around you to help you reach it. He'll put people in your life to help you reach it. Divine encounters and situations where you're like, that should have never happened. But God made a way. But God made a way. And so, you can read in 2 Samuel 23 if you want to just hear about David's mighty man. That's awesome. I think that as we kind of close down today, just a few thoughts. In this scripture, one of the great outlining parts of this for me personally was just, it always reminded me that I was not defined by my current stage, my current state and where I was at. And if you've ever done life before, I think we can all relate to the fact of just being in a state where we're like, man, is this it? Is this all? And this scripture is a reminder of no. It's much greater. It's much better. He's got so much more. Is Jesus back yet? All right. Then he is doing something. He is working in your life. Praise the Lord. So you can always know that. You can always say, hey, is this it? You can literally say this, all right? I'm just giving you like the words, you can speak this. If you ever feel like that, and you probably will at times, you can simply say, has Jesus returned? If he hasn't, then you know your answer. You know that he that began a good work in you is still doing it. He's still completing it. He's still got great things for you in your life. See, God's faithfulness is always going to be more decisive than our weakness. Amen? It will always be more decisive than our weakness. And when we get to those places in our life where we just feel like we can't move on, we can't do it, is this it? Or, man, we get a report that we didn't see coming, or we get a bill that we didn't see coming, you know, or something happens that just really just kind of hits us on the back of the head, right? and we just feel a little dazed and confused, you can just simply come back to a centering remark that says, is Jesus back? All right. Well, that means that the work that he started, he's still doing it, which means he's still got great things for me. Better than the things that I've experienced, he's got those things for me in my life. And remember, God's not relying on your strength. Amen. It's the good news. He supplies it. Okay? We just have to be willing to say, hey, I'll go. I'll go. I'll do it. And there's nothing better for the King of Kings to hear than someone says, I'll go. He says, I've been waiting. All right. You ready? Almost every great superhero story, right, has the moment, right, where they realize their full potential. And it's in those moments that we all are like, yeah, you know? It's like the Hulk that says, you want to know my secret? I'm always angry, right? And you're just like, yeah, oh yeah, he is. He's always angry. Awesome. Yeah. It's okay. You can laugh at me. It's okay. It's all right. It's these things, these moments where like the light bulb hits, right? And in our relationship with God, that's the one of the defining light bulbs is when we say, you know what? I will go. More than a word, but from our heart, we say, I'll go. And God's like, yes. Yes. Let me show you. Let me do something. And those are the most amazing moments that you will experience in your life. Because what follows is always supernatural. Always supernatural. So as we close today, you know, for those of you maybe not yet in Christ, what a great scripture. You know, I love this scripture because for those of you that aren't in Jesus, if you haven't made a decision for Jesus today, I mean, what a great promise for you today. What a great promise for you today that you can say, you know what, this can be me today. I can be that today. I can be the one that says, you know what, I choose to believe the plan for God on my life, begin to step into those things and see him work. Amen. And for us as believers in the place, you know, you got to learn to trust God's ongoing work. Trusting God's ongoing work is so important. And you got to, I would really encourage you to look at areas where you're doubting God's going to finish what he started. Because you may be dealing with that doubt and unbelief that I just don't think he's going to finish that. You know, I know he started it, but I just don't know. Or maybe I missed it. Well, did you miss it or is it just getting a little hard? So you've got to assess those things and say, hey, we can do this. God's going to be the supplier. I don't have to be the supplier. He can be the supplier. Amen? I also stay in the field. I love, you know, Shama in 2 Samuel 23. It says, you know, he stood when everyone else fled, he stayed. And that's always impacted me in my life because in your life, there will always be times where everyone else will flee. And that's always going to be the easy way. But narrow is the road that God has called us to do. Wide is the road to death. It's easy. But narrow is the road that God has called you to go. It will have its challenges. It will have things that you didn't see coming. But praise the Lord that he has overcome. And that he saw it all happen. And he's got you. Amen? And so the third thing, fight with confidence and fear and no fear. Fight with confidence that he is going to be there. So as we close today, with just a moment, if you're in the room today and you don't know Jesus, And I just want to give you that opportunity to know him. And again, I'm going to lead you in a really simple prayer. In that prayer, it's not so much the words as much as the heart behind those words. That when you say that, again, you're making him the number one thing in your life. You're recognizing that without him, you're a sinner. And with him, you're redeemed. All right? With him, you are made new. And so if you want to make that decision today, let's just take a moment, every head bowed, every eye closed for just a moment. If that's you in the room, just lift up your hand and say, that's me today. I really want that. I want to make that decision today. Anybody in the room today? Praise the Lord. I'm going to assume that I'm not seeing hands, so I'm going to assume everybody's a Christian. Praise the Lord. That's awesome. I can't see people online, so we're going to still do this prayer, okay? So if you're online and you rose your hand, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. If you didn't raise your hand, don't worry. Your chance didn't go away. You can do it right now, okay? And I'm going to lead you in this prayer. You just say these words and acknowledge it in your heart. Just say this with me. Say, dear Jesus, I need you. I can't do this on my own. I've tried. I need you. I thank you for your forgiveness. And I ask that as you forgive me, you would change me. Show me what to do. Show me what's right. Do what only you can do. I invite your Holy Spirit to speak to me, to speak through me, to reveal new things to me. I thank you when I open my Bible, words will jump off the page and they'll speak to me. Do what only you can do. I make you the number one thing above all else. If you agree with that, say amen. Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm going to have Pastor Mike and Merritt, if you want to come up. Pastor, if you want to come up, it's up to you. So, yeah, but we're just going to take just a moment. If you didn't know, it's Pastor Mercedes' birthday yesterday. Yeah.
And, thanks again for joining us for the Liberty Church podcast. If you have prayer requests, you can always email those prayer requests at prayer@libertyofomaha.com. And we love to hear your praise reports. Email those at amen@libertyofomaha.com. For more information on Liberty Church, visit us at libertyofomaha.com. Thanks so much for joining us, and have a great day.